This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, back live. And tomorrow, the first Tuesday in May, is National Teacher Appreciation Day. That makes this a great time for our next conversation. Here in Illinois, the State Board of Education has long sponsored what it calls the Those Who Excel and Teacher of the Year program. It's meant to honor educators who have gone above and beyond for their classrooms, their schools, and their communities. This year, the Illinois Teacher of the Year is Brianna Morales. She's an 11th and 12th grade English and Language Arts instructor at the Gordon Bush Alternative Center in East St. Louis School District 189. East St. Louis was once a thriving industrial town, but decades of disinvestment, population loss, and ineffective leadership took a steep toll. Today, the community has more than its share of violence and troubles, and Ms. Morales has responded, helping her students process trauma by writing poetry. One of her students, Melanie Salazar, describes Ms. Morales as a teacher who senses pain, models how to express emotions, shows up at every single candlelight vigil, wake, and funeral, stays in touch after graduation, helps find scholarships, choose classes, and will even move you into a dorm room. Brianna Morales joins us now. Ms. Morales, welcome to the 21st Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And just to begin, congratulations on being named Teacher of the Year. How do you feel?
It was definitely a surprise, and I feel like I really outdid myself with this one. But I think that it's an amazing accomplishment, not only for my personal career, but also for the students that I teach, to be able to highlight the amazing work that we've engaged in over the years, and use that platform to also reach out to other educators doing phenomenal work behind the scenes across the state over the next year.
So tell us more about your role at the Gordon Bush Alternative Center.
Yeah, so I've been teaching in East St. Louis District 189 for the past 5 years. I have been teaching overall for 6 years, and all 5 of the years in District 189 have been at Gordon Bush, which is the alternative high school for students in District 189. And so alternative schools can function as multiple different things, but in many cases, they're a referral site for schools that need students to be placed in a different setting for additional support in areas of behavior, attendance, or academics. And so it's a really special place where we have a 10-to-1 ratio, which is amazing and unheard of probably for many educators listening, to be able to have less than 10 kids in my classroom and to be the teacher that is able to provide that hand-over-hand instruction with them. Gordon Bush is also a very unique place for an alternative setting program as well, because we are also a competency-based pilot school through the Illinois State Board of Education. And so competency-based education is a non-traditional form of teaching, learning, and assessment where students work towards mastery in a set amount of competencies per content. And the students work at their own instructional level at their pace rather than working for completion of work at a teacher's pace for seat time credits. So it really addresses some of the needs that my students have in terms of their attendance, but also we're able to capitalize on the wealth of knowledge that my students already have that they bring to the classroom, which is traditionally overlooked with traditional forms of teaching, learning, and assessment. And so we're really lucky to be one of over 40 different school districts across the state who participates in the pilot. And so I'm really looking forward to sharing more about that as the year progresses. And what are more opportunities for flexible learning environments and flexible assessment for our students that can help us capitalize on what they know.
Big picture, what does it say about the, you know, with the ISBE selecting you as Teacher of the Year? And what does that say about highlighting alternative schooling?
Yeah, so I think that it is a huge testament to the work that I've done with a very specific population of students over the course of my career. The Teacher of the Year Award is an amazing accolade for an educator like me, specifically in alternative education, because alternative education oftentimes is one facet of education that is disinvested in or oftentimes overlooked. And so for an alternative educator, there was a previous alternative educator, Kim Thomas, who had won Illinois Teacher of the Year a few years ago. And so being another one, in addition to her in all of Teacher of the Year history in Illinois, really just puts a spotlight on the unique population organization that we are working with, and also gives us the ability to share about what our students need, the cool things that we're doing to meet the needs that they do have, and the partnerships that we can gain throughout the state because of shining that spotlight on them for the next year.
And can you just say a little bit more about, you know, obviously without betraying confidences, and I should say we need to take a break in about a minute, but just, you know, are there common, if, you know, everybody has their own unique experiences, but what are some of the common struggles that your students face?
Yeah, so generational poverty in East St. Louis is unparalleled to anywhere else in the United States. And the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development once called East St. Louis the most distressed small city in America. And so with one in every three students coming from a family unit that might make less than $15,000 a year, the poverty here can have effects on various other aspects of their development. And I think that the school district is doing a really beautiful job in providing wraparound resources that prioritize the dignity of the whole child and their family to be able to reach that academic success. And there's a lot of unique ways that we're doing that in the alternative school as well. But I would say that that's definitely one of the largest things, in addition to gun violence, which I'm sure we'll touch on a little bit later with the healing work that I've done with my students. But yeah.
Yeah, let's put a pin in that, and we will talk about that when we come back. We are speaking with the Illinois 2023 Teacher of the Year, Brianna Morales, who's an instructor in English and Language Arts, 11th and 12th grade at the Gordon Bush Alternative Center, which is part of East St. Louis School District 189. If you want to join our conversation today, we are live now. 1-800-222-9455 is the number to join us. That's 800-222-9455. We also have a Facebook page if you want to interact with there. You can leave comments. That is The 21st Show on Facebook, The 21ST Show. More to come with the Teacher of the Year after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are speaking with the 2023 Illinois Teacher of the Year, Brianna Morales. She teaches 11th and 12th grade English and Language Arts at the Gordon Bush Alternative Center in East St. Louis School District 189. If you want to join our conversation today, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. That's 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. So before the break, we were talking a bit about some of the challenges that your students face. You mentioned generational poverty is one, gun violence is another. How do you help students cope and process that trauma?
That's a great question. And I think it's something that a lot of educators are thinking about, especially post-pandemic, with the resurgence of the importance of social emotional learning and validating our students as human beings. So I'm happy to speak about this. I was really fortunate to be named an early career educator of color by the National Council for Teachers of English in 2021. And during that time, I was able to work alongside a cohort of phenomenal educators from across the United States in various content areas and disciplines. And we embarked on a 2-year research project individually as awardees with our own students under the direction of an advisor. And the project that we took up in East St. Louis was on poetry of witness. And so I think that it's a really unique way to allow students to process the types of extremity that they may be experiencing in their lives that they're just oftentimes not given the opportunity to talk about in school. And so the term poetry of witness was initially coined by a poet named Carolyn Frechette in her 1993 book called Against Forgetting, 21st Century Poetry of Witness. And poetry of witness is defined as, you know, thinking about extremity in any type of our life that could be personal extremity. It could be extremity related to state censorship, political persecution, imprisonment, things like that. And so there's an ability for students to think about, you know, extremity in the world outside of their own personal experience, but then their own personal, sorry, I'm at school and that was a bell, their own personal extremity in their own lives in terms of what they experience in their communities on a daily basis and the things that they are navigating as young people in East St. Louis. And so through those Poetry of Witness units, students embarked on creating their own personal narrative poetries of witness. And we used a model text called Where I'm From by Willie Perdomo. And students created their own off of the mentor text about what it means for them to grow up in East St. Louis, the types of things that they see, the beauty in their community that they want others to know about, and that the things that they are so passionate about, people understanding about their community, as well as some of the things that may have caused them trauma and how they wish that they could change that. So I think that it was a beautiful experience and really cathartic for a lot of my students to be able to get those things out, because it's a way for them to process those things in real time while also sharing their lived experience with a greater community of people to build empathy, which is a soft skill that many people don't have the opportunity to build.
Can you share one of the poems with us?
Sure. So I think it's important before I read one of the poems. There's three different types of healing narratives that students could embark upon that I gave them a model for. And so the types of healing narratives I think is really important for us, specifically as an English educator, to delineate between for my students, because sometimes with personal narratives, students are expected to make sense of their pain. And that can be really culturally destructive when you're teaching a young person that you went through this for a reason. Sometimes at the time that they're experiencing extremity, they don't know what the reason is, and there might not be one that they can come up with or that they should be expected to talk about in that way. So one of the narratives that students can write about is a chaos narrative, which is kind of just like their feelings in real time. It doesn't have to have a specific sequence, and the real time events just come out as they're processing with the emotions attached to the events. So this poem is called A Place, and this was a chaos narrative that one of my former students, who has now passed away, her name is Demaya Brown, and the poem is called A Place, and she actually won second place in our district-wide poetry slam competition in 2019, so this was really special for her to write this and then to be able to share it in front of the community. So the poem reads, "Where I'm from, it's a place that you don't want to be. I'm from a place where you hear gunshots instead of lullabies when you're trying to sleep. It's from a place where you wouldn't want to step into the streets because there's blood everywhere and whoever did it is discreet. They were watching, but they would never say a peep. If they did, Lord knows that 6 feet under is where they'd be. I'm from a place where you wouldn't want to go on vacation because there's nothing here to see. Family homes falling apart, abandoned houses where we sleep. Drug dealers on the block selling them rocks to keep a feast. Walking into my mama's house smelling greens and chicken, that's what we eat. And then it's me, who's just trying to make it out, graduate, and get on my feet. It makes me stronger. Every day, this is a struggle that I gotta beat. I love my city because we're the city of beasts. Crime rate is too high. I'll be glad when everything ceases. School's filled with kids just trying to make it up out the streets. I love my city, but it's no place you wanna be."
Wow. Trying to make it out, she said, and she didn't. Can you say what happened to her?
Yeah, so Demaya passed very tragically on December 17th, and it actually was not a result of the types of things that she wrote about, but her life and her ability to process so many losses related to the things that she wrote about, I think, was a healing part of her story as a student at Gordon Bush. And district staff, we've talked about in after her passing, how she flourished at our school because she had the space, the adults in her life that helped her to unlock those doors to healing, because she had so much pent up inside her that just she had no place to let it out. And so poetry was one thing that she really gravitated towards once we gave her the opportunity to do it. And so I think that it's so special thinking back on her life, thinking back on our relationship. She was one of the students that I was so close to. And I share about her every chance that I get because she was my biggest fan. And I think that she would have loved to have been here to be able to see me get Teacher of the Year. But in a young person's life, like Demaya was also a mother while she was my student. She left behind two beautiful boys, and she was a friend, she was a daughter, she was a poet, She was dedicated in so many aspects of her life, and I think that poetry really gave her the outlet to be able to talk about what that meant in her lived experience as a young Black girl growing up in East St. Louis, sharing it with people who might have understood her, and then also, again, building that empathetic listening skill and perspective-taking skill with others who might never walk in her shoes but now have a glimpse into her life and others' lives just like her, because they were able to put pen to paper and get their story out through poetry.
You know, that poem really sums up an idea that I think people who are not from East St. Louis, for them, East St. Louis is kind of a warning phrase, right? It signals, like you mentioned, that HUD report about the most disinvested community. And you mentioned this violence, and I'm sure that students there, as they do in parts of Springfield and Peoria and Chicago and elsewhere in Illinois, see, you know, the teddy bear memorials on the side of the roads every day when they're walking to school, things like that. How do you help students move beyond that violence, move beyond being defined by where they're from?
Yeah, so I think that it's so important to help students to develop their own sense of identity and criticality of the world. And I think that there's a beautiful framework for how we can do that in the book Cultivating Genius by Goldie Muhammad, which is an equity framework for culturally and historically responsive literacy. And some of the tenets in the book that she shares about for how to approach the, you know, four-part framework for literacy instruction is on identity development, skill development, intellectual development, and criticality. And so how are we cultivating spaces where students understand who they are, they understand what is their social political space in the world? How do other people view me? How do I view myself? How can I be an agent of change in my community? And also, where are the spaces where I can harbor and share joy in my life? I think that there's such culture, brilliance, genius, enthusiasm, and beauty in the city of East St. Louis, thinking historically, obviously, about the many great people that have come from East St. Louis and shared their talents with the world and then come back to their community and help to make a difference, and showing students that they're able to do those same types of things. And in that, when they do venture out of the 89 blocks of East St. Louis, they have a unique lived experience and world perspective that they can help other people's world perspective to become more complete when they share about it. So rather than invalidating the fact that you may have grown up in the 89 blocks of East St. Louis and may not have experienced much, while like some people may tell them, you've experienced so many things that are specific to your community, and you have had so many experiences that other people around the world will never have. And that's a beautiful thing about being able to share about where you're from, being able to share about the successes that you've had, the accomplishments that you have been able to make it through, so that other people's worldview of who you are and where your place is in the world can become more complete. I think that it's also goes in conjunction with teaching students the power of, you know, sharing their story through poetry, because it helps us to turn our pain into power so that it can reveal our purpose, allowing students to have the space to work through their lived experiences and the things that they've been through can also help them to hone their stories in sharing that with other people and turning it into a source of power so that then they can share about what they want to make that like in the future.
Just a few minutes left in our conversation. I understand you're the first person in your family to graduate from college. What do you think about the role of education in the life of not just an individual, but a family and a community?
Yes. So I definitely am the first person in my family to go to college. And so first generation college student experience, I think, is something that is not often talked about. And while there are increasing resources throughout the state, I think that there's always room for improvement as far as how we're supporting first generation college students. And so one thing that I think is important to note is that I am Mexican, and speaking positionality as a person of color and as a non-Black person of color who teaches in a Black community, I think that it's so important that we also recognize the fact that education and ways of knowing and culture and knowledge, all of those things exist in our communities without formal schooling and without formal education. So whether or not my students decide to go to college or they decide to join the workforce, they decide to be parents, they decide to join the army, whatever it is their life trajectory looks like after 12th grade. I think that it's so important to understand that within our communities, there's so much knowledge and there is such a big opportunity and also moral responsibility for educators to capitalize on their students' cultural funds of knowledge within the classroom so that students can be looked at as knowledgeable, as educated without ever going to college. So I think that that's a huge thing for me as a person of color. And then additionally, any ways that we can get those resources in the hands of our students who are interested in going to college is another beautiful way that we can expand our reach and our impact on our students' lives, which is something that I'm super looking forward to doing. I spoke about Demaya, who is my student who has passed away. We're actually starting a scholarship fund in memory of the legacy of love that Demaya left behind in the city of East St. Louis and also in my heart as her teacher. And so the scholarship fund is going to be called Sisterhood of Hope, and it is specifically a first generation workforce and career and college scholarship for teen mothers in the state of Illinois. And so we are looking forward to piloting that as soon as we can get the website up and running. So it's going to be funds for teen mothers to pursue their post-secondary goals while also having the support necessary to raise their families. So I think that that's one way that I've seen my own experience as a first-generation college student kind of blend in with my students. And so any way that I can help them with resources, I'm more than happy to do so with the help of other people who are interested in joining that fight with me.
Brianna Morales, my condolences on your student and congratulations on being named Illinois Teacher of the Year. Thanks for doing what you do, and thanks for joining us to talk about it on the 21st show.
Thank you so much.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, Farmer City in central Illinois is predominantly white. Caro in southern Illinois is majority black, but both cities have gone about 7 years without a local grocery store, and both are working to remedy that situation on their own terms by opening co-ops. We'll talk about that, plus a conversation with linguist Valerie Fridland about her new book, Like Literally Dude, Arguing for the Good in Bad English. That's all coming up tomorrow on The 21st Show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.